Spencer Soper is the author of the article that we saw earlier this week, and he's jumping on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Spencer. How are you?
I'm great, but you guys are like triggering memories of when my dog Andy got away on garbage night and like emerged from the bushes with a dirty diaper in his mouth, you know? So, but anyway, so yeah, we've all had some stray pets here and there, you know?
Yeah, I imagine we have. And so, you know, there's a lot of questions that come out of that. Like, who the hell is putting a dirty diaper in the bushes?
Yeah, well, I think they got it from garbage can. Oh, okay, it was just wreaked havoc over the entire neighborhood. But
yeah, good for him.
Yeah, he needs to be a little more selective, I think, in where in which garbage cans he goes
into. He doesn't get out enough. He's I'll take anything. Give me anything. Diaper, good. Let's go.
Yeah. Start but here on the name of the cat, maybe I should have named Andy Huggies or something. Like, kind of like Sherman. I don't know.
Maybe. Spencer, tell me a little bit about this, because as I was saying, I live out in the suburbs of Chicago, and there's a couple of these places out there where these vans are just going like crazy. And so these are not all so the story is a little bit, and you'll have to explain this to us, that drivers who want to get hired are hanging their cell phones or hanging cell phones on trees out near the location. Because then I imagine they're closer. It's sort of like what Uber drivers closer, they're going to get the hit. They're doing this and then forwarding it to their phone so they can get hits and get jobs?
Yeah. So, and actually, you bring up a really good point, and we should just kind of pull back for a second to explain all the different pieces of Amazon's delivery system,
yeah,
right? Because all the people listening are customers. They've probably received Amazon packages from the Postal Service, from a UPS guy. They probably received them from these blue vans you're talking about. And those would all be like full-time delivery drivers. And the story that we wrote applies more to what's called Amazon Flex. And that is similar to Uber, just like someone can download the Uber app and give people rides in their own car. Amazon Flex lets people download the app and make Amazon deliveries in their own vehicles. So this supplements all of those vans and the other traditional ways of delivering things that Amazon's been experimenting with the past few years. And now there's like hundreds of thousands of people making these Amazon Flex deliveries around the country.
Now, Spencer, when they do an Amazon Flex, is that sort of like a DoorDash thing where you're picking up one or two things and delivering it? Or are these the budget rental vans I'm seeing that are coming and getting loaded up?
It's most likely not those budget rental vans. I mean, it would be possible for someone to do it, and some of these folks can do as many as like 30, 40 deliveries at a time if they sign up for like a 4-hour block. Even with Amazon Flex, there's different ways the work is allocated. But the Amazon Flex drivers are mostly going to be people in a traditional car, like a sedan. Generally, the more fuel efficient the vehicle, the better it is for the Flex driver. So you could do it in an RV if you wanted to. It would just be stupid because you're getting paid the same amount per delivery and you're using your own gas. Those people you're seeing in the vans and stuff, they're employees of different companies, so they're not paying for the fuel and that kind of stuff, and they're doing longer routes. But the Flex drivers are generally in smaller vehicles that don't really stick out very much.
So Amazon really has a complicated system of these packages are going through so many different avenues. There's a lot of questions asked here. So when it's a rental van, is that more of a, so they're hiring another company to provide because they don't have enough of the full-time drivers, we need those vans. So that's somebody through another company that Amazon hires?
Yeah, so Amazon did, they don't call it it's technically not a franchise, but it's kind of similar to a franchise where Amazon had a call to arms a couple years ago where it encouraged people to start their own companies by leasing vans and hiring a lot of drivers. So those drivers in the Amazon vans, generally, technically, they're not employees of Amazon, but they are an employee of a company that's really been set up to exclusively make Amazon deliveries.
It's similar to like a
delivery franchise.
Spencer, are you saying even the people in Amazon liveried vans are not necessarily Amazon employees?
No, they're detached, a layer detached. So
okay, so the ones we're seeing in non-Amazon painted vans.
In both. Amazon has a program they call it Delivery Service Partners, and that's what they did this is a couple years ago, where they encouraged people to start their own businesses, similar to starting like a Subway franchise or something. It's a nominal upfront investment. Then Amazon uses its negotiating power to get you a good deal on a van and a good deal on insurance and a good deal to, you know, post job ads on Indeed.com. But Amazon just wants that detachment from the actual company. And so those people in those Amazon vans are most likely an employee of the delivery service partner.
So I'm sorry, go ahead, Raj. Does it depend on what type of package, where it's coming from, how it's getting to its destination? Will that depend on which type of those drivers, which one of the trucks actually delivers that package? Is there like a higher cost package actually gets a full-time driver and a real truck as opposed to somebody who's just like looking for a quick job or a couple hours of pay?
Yeah, that's a good question. The flex drivers largely are, and again, it's never like one size fits all, but mm-hmm. but the flex drivers are largely like grocery deliveries from Whole Foods mm-hmm. and these 1 and 2 hour delivery things from Amazon's Prime Now service. So that's the other thing, is like a lot of people just think of Amazon Prime as being like 2 day delivery. Yeah. It's now often 1 day or even same day, but Amazon also has this service called Prime Now in select areas, and it's basically the inventory that's comparable to like a CVS or a Walgreens, like a drugstore, you know, that where you know, maybe 20,000 items or so that you can get within an hour or two. And so oftentimes these flex drivers are doing deliveries like that, where it's kind of they need someone immediately to make an order, and that's where they can kind of spin up these drivers that are available. And you guys mentioned DoorDash. That's a good analogy, because a lot of these drivers that do this gig economy work, they've got all of these services download. They'll pivot from Uber for a trip to DoorDash for a trip to Amazon Flex for a trip. They're taking whatever they can get at that moment in time.
So, Spencer, is the idea behind using drivers like this, hiring out other companies, is this because Amazon can't possibly keep this fulfilled, or is this because Amazon does not want to pay a bunch of people full-time wages?
Well, a lot of the drivers for the delivery service partners are full time and get benefits. They generally don't do as well as a union driver for UPS or a union driver for the Postal Service. Precisely what motivates Amazon to kind of like bifurcate the workforce in this way. So instead of Amazon employing tens of thousands of drivers around the country directly, in which case it would be very easy for someone to, I shouldn't say easy, but it would be possible for all of those workers to get together and form a union. The structure they've created, you know, a union would be formed maybe 40, 50 people at a time for each of these individual companies. And the way it's structured is also in a way that Amazon will have multiple delivery service partners serving each geographic region. So it can kind of maneuver between one and the other and have them competing with one another for the work. So it really just, it's really like a structure that gives Amazon tremendous leverage, and the delivery service partner, the driver, is very, very little leverage in the relationship.
And tell us a little bit now about what is going on where people are hanging cell phones from trees. How does that work?
Yeah, this is the juicy part, right? So, okay, so we talked about the flex drivers, right? And so you guys are going to be experts on Amazon logistics when this is all over.
We're going to go get the app and we're going to start working. I think we're going to make some extra money.
Yeah, I need something to do when the sun's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You may not want to unless you want to hang a smartphone from a tree. But so the way Flex works is people can sign up in advance for a block of maybe 2 hours or 4 hours, and those will pay maybe about $20 an hour on average. And again, you're burning your own fuel and your own car and everything, so you have to deduct all of that out of that. So that's one part of it. Then they also have what are called these instant offers. And that's the most similar to an Uber, where when you hail an Uber or a Lyft ride from your app, that's when the app kicks in and tries to find a driver near you that can come pick you up. So just like that, Amazon does these instant offers where if somebody orders something, either a grocery delivery or some other item for quick delivery, the app kicks in, it has the location data from all of the different drivers' smartphones, and it's detecting who is in the closest proximity to grab that order and deliver it to the customer. And it can prioritize the people that are closest to the either the Amazon delivery station or the Whole Foods market in order to make the delivery faster, because the less time someone has to drive to pick up the order, the more quickly the customer will get it. And so that's where these smartphones in trees kicked in, where people were hanging smartphones in trees. One reason is to have the proximity to the Whole Foods, so they'll be detected as one of the closest drivers to the delivery station. But then another thing that they're doing is they do run apps and basically software on the phone. So usually the way it's designed is you would manually, you know, you get an alert, do you want to take this instant offer, and you would manually accept it. What the software on the phone can do is automatically, continuously watch this thing and accept any offer that comes your way. And so it's a combination of those things, both using the tree for the proximity and then also using the software to snag any offer that is available that was happening in the Chicago suburbs.
So when they're doing this and then it still takes them 10 or 15 minutes to actually get there to pick it up sometimes, does Amazon get ticked off by that, or is it all just so automated and there's so much going on that they're not really able to say, wait a minute, they're pulling this scam, we shouldn't be using them?
Well, the drivers would have to be in close proximity. So you wouldn't hang your smartphone in a tree outside Whole Foods and then go three towns away.
Okay.
You know, that would defeat the purpose. So there are different things, you know, there are different protections that kick in. So once you accept the offer, then that triggers another clock that you've got a certain amount of time to check in and get the order. And if you fail to do so, then they default to someone else. And that
right.
will ding that individual driver, but it's not going to, like, collapse the entire system.
Yeah.
So you do still have to be close by. But part of this scheme, and again, we're kind of piecing this together based on observations and people we've interviewed. Amazon hasn't been terribly forthcoming because I think they're just a little bit embarrassed about it.
Sure.
And then the people perpetrating this obviously don't want to talk because
no.
they've got a good
yeah.
they've got a good thing going.
You're ruining
but we've
it,
been
Spencer.
We've been hearing about it from people observing and other drivers that were pissed off about it. And so they would you know, there would be trees dangling in the phones, but some of those trees actually, I mean, some of those phones actually seem to serve as like master devices. Other drivers would approach the tree with their own device, their own phone, somehow sync it with the phone in the tree, and then just kind of linger nearby. And somehow they're getting, like, you know, the offer is getting ricocheted from that tree phone to their phone, and they can go make the money. And there's a strong suspicion that there's some, like, third-party intermediaries in there, you know, charging people for this quicker access to these routes. And we should say, these routes can pay as little as $15, so it's not a huge amount of money for each individual driver. But if you somehow found a way to hack into this system and sell this service to multiple drivers,
yeah.
you know, you could make a few bucks if they're willing to give you a little bit of the action in exchange for better access to routes.
From the people you've talked to, and you mentioned that, you know, people aren't necessarily just doing some Amazon. My son DoorDashed this summer, especially during the pandemic, to some great
yeah.
success early on.
Sure.
But then
I hope he wasn't the driver that got caught on camera taking a sip of the guy's Slurpee before making the delivery.
I didn't hear about that, so I don't think so. boy, and I DoorDash a lot, so now I don't like hearing that. I will say this, though. Most of these places are sealing things up like crazy. The McDonald's yeah. bag has come very taped up. A lot of the places where you're getting a drink, there's a big sticker over the top of it. Like, they are trying to give you that sense, at least, or the panacea of, oh, don't worry, this is all clean and pure ever since it got poured. But I'm wondering, Spencer, as you've talked to these drivers, are there a lot of people that are, yeah, I've got my Amazon thing on, I got my DoorDash thing on, I got an Uber thing on, are they doing them all at once, like whatever comes in they're grabbing, and can that all in all cobble together to some pretty good money, or is it really scraping by no matter what they're doing?
Some drivers do quite well, and absolutely. Generally, these people are very savvy. They know, okay, you know, it's late at night. Well, and again, a lot of this intel is pre-pandemic, because the pandemic has kind of toppled everything, right? But say pre-pandemic, when people are still going out and socializing and things, you'd know, okay, this is a good evening for me to make money. with Uber and Lyft, you know, or right now is lunchtime, and so I'm going to do I'll make good money doing DoorDash to offices or something like that. And now the holidays are coming. I'll make good money delivering with Amazon. So there generally is like some complementary, you know, supply and demand times where when one thing fades, another thing rises. So absolutely, a lot of these drivers just know how to kind of play the game and maximize their income accordingly. The way the pandemic has changed that, and especially the summer, how it's changed that, is those federal pandemic unemployment assistance payments of $600 a week, like that was a decent payment. And once those dried up, you suddenly have a lot of people who are out of work, no longer getting that supplemental unemployment insurance, looking for any way to make a few bucks here and there on the side. Yeah. And so now all of these services are getting a lot more drivers. So competition just stiffens that way. And then you add to the fact that people simply don't need Ubers and Lyft rides the way they used to. So you have all of those things kind of compounding to kind of overwhelm the supply of gig economy workers. And so it's just tougher for them to make money. Because remember, they're not hourly.
Right.
If there's no work, there's no work. They don't get paid.
Spencer Soper is with Bloomberg. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone. We really appreciate it. We got to get to news in a second, but let's talk again.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Spencer, have a great weekend. 312-981-7200. We've got the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up here in just a couple of minutes on 720 WGN.